Hello, I'm Kevin Kelly, and welcome to the Buzz Bubble, where we pick the brains of great minds in advertising. This week, we get into the head of Alex Bogusky, chairman of Crispin, Porter & Bogusky, number one ad agency in the USA today. I first discovered CP&B's brilliance before I even knew who they were, when I was smitten by the Mini Cooper, the car, and later, completely infatuated by the Mini Cooper brand. I later rediscovered the CP&B brand when viewing a Burger King commercial hosted by Hootie, singing about bacon tumbleweeds, women with big cabooses, and breasts that grew on trees. Right then and there, I knew I was hooked. More recently, you may have seen CP&B's work with brands like Volkswagen, Coke Zero, Hulu, Old Navy, and Microsoft. I recently traveled to Boulder, Colorado, to CP&B's co-headquarters, and spent some time in Alex's office interviewing him about advertising, and found out a few other things that make Alex Bogusky tick. Let's check it out.
Alex, thanks for having me down. I appreciate you making some time.
Thanks for sitting so close.
We're in each other's space here, but it looks good. That's what's important. I want to start with where I first reached out to you, and you were on Twitter. You got off of Twitter, said, this has been great, not right for me, and then shortly you came back with a vengeance, and you're all over it. And
all tweeting.
Tweeting.
Yeah.
A little bit of work, a lot of biking, and a lot of fun stuff. So, you know, what has Twitter become for you?
The reason I got off was that I felt bad that I couldn't really keep up my end of the communication. So when people would reply to things, and I think some of it is my misunderstanding of Twitter too. So as a communicator, I think that when someone like writes me back, I feel like I've got to write them back, right? And on Twitter, it's too many people writing back. I couldn't do it. So I tried to manage it for a while, and it just kept making me feel bad. And then I stopped. And this guy contacted me, and he said, you know, I wish you wouldn't have stopped. It'd be nice to have, it was kind of fun having you on there. You know, I want to start a Twitter drive with to get you back. How many people would it take for you to, like, get back on? I was like, I had 1,500, I think. And I said, well, I don't know, 3,000, right? Because I thought, well, that'll never happen.
Right.
And he's like, okay, well, that's what we're going to do. And so it took a little while, but then there were 3,000, and I had said to him that I would. So I did. And I wrote on my bio that I, you know, probably wouldn't reply to replies. And I was trying to get rid of my guilt,
right
in my bio. And I've since taken that off now. But I think what's neat about Twitter to me, and the reason why I'm enjoying it, and I feel like a student of it, and liking being a student of it, is the whole social media thing had a lot of components, and each one of them could be interesting and successful, but Twitter seems to be the glue that's taken all these things and kind of putting them together, so that and you're seeing other little bits of social media actually springing up just adjacent to Twitter. It's kind of the glue that was needed. Like there aren't that many people on Twitter, but the people that are on Twitter are gluing together, yeah, and they're the ones that are sort of gluing together all this other social media. So it's really powerful.
Perfect for our short attention span theater. You know, takes a little bit of time to tweet, takes a little bit of time to keep up with it, so it's actually perfect for the culture right now.
Yeah, and it I don't know how long it's gonna last, you know, like, we were, right before Twitter blew up, we were like, man, Facebook is just on fire. It doesn't seem like that'll ever, you know what I mean? There's never going to be another thing. And it's just, they just keep coming.
Well,
and
yeah, so, MySpace is...
Yeah, I mean,
losing
some people. MySpace is less relevant. And I think that Twitter actually, at least in some people's minds, changed how they looked at Facebook, right? And like, how relevant is Facebook now? So it's happening awful fast, and so I don't know whether Twitter's going to evolve or something else is going to come along, and that's what will evolve Twitter. And I know some of the guys that did it, and they would freely admit, and I think they have, that they didn't know what they're making. They just made this thing, and then, boy, it would be hard to have known like it's going to blow up the way it did.
Do you have any new positions or titles that are based around social media? I know people are had, you know, people have these new
titles made up around social media marketing? Do you have people that you've moved to just focus on social media?
The only thing we're specifically changing is we're bringing in some creatives that will focus more there, because there's just the need we're finding the need that for brands to have some writers that actually spend time in that space. And it's, you know, we've been doing it sort of a la carte, and it's pretty time consuming.
So you're doing it more strategically, not like some people just throwing armies of people at it and just tweeting and Facebooking and just hitting all the networks.
Yeah, we tend to, we just help launch a thing called 12 Force with Best Buy. And that is for us kind of a nice foray into the space that's, like you say, more strategic. We played with it. So like the Supermodelkins, they had, you know.
I follow Amy.
You follow Amy? Okay. They were tweeting a little bit, but it was really haphazard. It was like me and Aaron, my assistant, would, you know. And some of those things will get formalized. And certainly in that space, it's easy to have successes because we are able to tweet retail information, like sales information. And it doesn't matter how many followers the girls have, as long as some of the followers are the coupon sites. So what would happen is, with very little effort, we would have these national sales events just with a tweet because of who was following, not the number of followers. So it's an interesting space. I love it. You know, in a lot of ways, I feel like it's... I was trying to figure out what I was going to get excited about in marketing next, right. You know? And social media and Facebook, those things had me not that excited, actually. And then this is kind of bringing it together and bringing focus where I'm really excited about it.
You know, we had a hard time on our side getting clients to understand it and know what it is. And I may have had the same challenge. And when you talk about things like, oh, if your tweet hits one coupon site, and you show them the reach and how it just expands, they kind of go, oh, yeah.
Well, we have a real hard time talking to them about it. And because, say you're Old Navy, they need to reach 100 million people, right? So they've got ways to reach that many people. And if you say that with, you know, Twitter, you can reach... Even if you reached everyone, we'd reach 5 million people. They're like, well, then you owe me 95 million people. You know what I mean? And in some ways, they're right. But it, like you said, in other ways, it's not right. It isn't really just about Twitter, right? That is one aspect of word of mouth. It's a digital word of mouth, right? And remember that commercial, like, she'll tell two friends, and she told two friends, and so on and so on?
Hair. Shampoo, yeah.
Shampoo.
Yeah.
But now it's more like, and she told 500 friends, and she told 687 friends, and so on. And, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it goes, so it's not very different, but it's much faster and much more explosive.
Now you have a Twitter feed on the new, or the beta site, the CPP site. Nervous about that? I mean, there's, you know, it's open territory.
Totally nervous about it, but not ignorant about it, right? So when we did the site and we said we're going to pull in everything, not everything is positive, right? Or it's not what you classically would think of as positive. Conversation, I think, in general is a good thing. And it is the way the world is going. Right. And the idea that the consumer is like really involved with the brand is something that people have liked to say for a long time, but they don't really mean it when they say it. Right. Now you're going to be forced to really mean it. Right. And so for us doing the site and was as much for the people in these walls to say, this is the world. Right. When you go to our site and you see what's happening around the brand, you know, it's really a dashboard that we've made public. So a dashboard by brand and by our brand that's public. If you're doing something and it doesn't have some place in that conversation, how much time should you be spending on it? Like, or should you be figuring out, you know, okay, how do I get it in that conversation? So it has been interesting that, you know, as much time as we spend in that space, I've had many people come to me almost white after the beta launch and just not because they're worried about what's being commented or the comments, but because they realize this new thing is coming, and that although they've read about it and they thought they'd seen it kind of rock the world, and they're like, boy, am I going to be any good at this?
So you walk the talk and put it on your site. So
you know, I mean, I don't
walk the walk.
We walk and talk and trip and all of that.
That's it for part one of the Buzz Bubble with Alex Boguski. Tune in next week for part two. You're listening to the Buzz Bubble.